Blog Talk Radio.
This is ATL Designer, the host of In the Mood, and you are listening to Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle, right here on Blog Talk Radio. You know, Terry brings you all the hot topics for your listening pleasure. Each and every Friday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just go to www.blogtalkradio.com. That's www.blogtalkradio.com. And you can also reach Terry direct. Her number is 347-945-6003. That's 347-945-6003. So log in.
Only for one night. Ooh.
welcome you today to Blog Talk Radio with another exciting episode of Unmasked. The author is Terry E. Lyle. This show is informative, entertaining, sometimes off the chain, but that's only because author Terry E. Lyle is passionate about what she does. So sit back, relax, enjoy the show. Get that phone handy so you can call in with questions or comments. She loves to hear from you. Enjoy.
Well, welcome everybody to another Friday session of Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle, and tonight's co-host is Tony. Shalonda's fiance is having some medical problems, so she won't be here tonight. So I'll send my prayers out to him that he gets better and she returns at the scheduled time next week. But our guest tonight is a guy named Ewan, and I'm going to let him pronounce his own last name, but this brother, he talking about he was caught up into the supernatural and chased by demons. So naturally, of course, I need to say, to God be the glory, that the Lord cover this show, that everything is done in decency and order, and let nothing negative attach itself to me or my guest or my studio, because I ain't having it, because I'm going to make the devil my footstool. And with that being said, how you doing, Tony, my co-host, darling?
I'm doing pretty good, baby. Just laying back, waiting on the show.
Okay. And Ewan, you tell everybody how you pronounce your first and last name, because I'm sure I didn't do it any justice. And then we'll get
right you did a great job.
Oh, it's, what's the last name?
Pronounce Ewan Lilisi.
Ewan Lilisi. That's like, I like that, something that rolls off your tongue. Ewan Lilisi. I kind of like how I do that with your tongue, you know.
Oh, thank you.
But we're going to go back a little bit before your episodes of The Supernatural. As you was growing up, were you a child that dealt into stuff like the Ouija boards, or were you somebody who wanted torment animals and, you know, into that kind of crazy little stuff that sometimes kids do?
No, actually, I grew up on a farm in Central Texas, and I used the Ouija board one time. It's funny you ask, because in a room full of people, I was the only one that it didn't work for. So I've never had an interest in hurting people or being involved in anything negative like that.
Well, I'm kind of scared of that, because maybe the reason why it didn't work for you, because they had plans to come back and get you with a vengeance, and obviously they did. But I know my co-host Tony has a question real quick. I'm going to let him ask this question. I'm going to ask you a question that's pressing on my heart. Just ask you. Go ahead, Tony. Ask your question first, darling.
As being into, you know, with what you have done and everything, whatever happened to make you feel that you was chased by demons or you was able to connect with them?
Well, in my experience, it was all audio. I could hear them, and they came to me at all hours of the day and night, and sometimes they would hang around for days at a time relentlessly. And periodically, I would either speak to them or think back at them to tell them, you know, shut up. And
okay, let me ask you this. Are you bald-headed? Because I would be stressed out, man, if I heard some demons talking. I ain't trying to communicate, except I would say, get out, you know what I'm saying? But that stress, did your hair fall out?
Yeah, well, actually, I do. I shave my head, but the last time I had hair, it was brown, and I'm sure it's white by now if I grew it out.
Oh, wow. So what age did this start? You started having the episode, and how long after the Ouija board episode did this start happening in your life?
Oh, the Ouija, I played with that in high school. I just turned 40 years old, and this all started in January of 2013, and it was periodic at first, but it really started nonstop April 25th of 2013, which was also the full moon, which they call the pink moon or the blood moon.
Oh, wow.
And that's when everything happened. I went through a rapture at that point. It was a very intense situation.
April 25th is my mom's birthday. Okay, but this happened a year ago. So from high school, and then you went further on in your life, and nothing happened. And then just last year, April 25th, that is when it just popped up. What was the first thing you heard, or what time of day was this?
Well, like I said, it was periodic, and it really started for me a few years back in terms of feeling like I was clairvoyant, because I had moved to Las Vegas and I started playing blackjack, and I noticed at the blackjack table that my head would kind of wobble. And as I was playing, I noticed that I would win when it wobbled to the left and I would lose when it wobbled to the right. It was like telling me, don't bet here, bet here. And I never thought much of it, and I didn't even associate it with any kind of spirit or anything. I just thought, man, I got some neck problems, you know. But later on, I met a girl when I was having a lucky streak playing blackjack, and she turned out to be someone who I associated with stories of the Scarlet Woman. And because of her behavior in our relationship. And that's really what provided the impetus for what was to follow, is that I went into a severe depression over my relationship. And during the course of that, that's when it seems like I started to gain a higher awareness of angels. But then on the pink moon, it was like I was feasted upon by these demons. Just at the height of when I was starting to feel like I was in a born-again type of situation, they just came to me and swarmed me.
Wow. Now, I don't want people out there that's listening to assume by any means or stretch of the imagination that when you talk about this demon thing swarming you and you chuckle like it's something that's okay to go through, because I rebuke that, you know, and I know that, you know, anything demon related or of Satan, you know, is nothing good, you know. That's why it's spoke of so intently in the Bible, that we need to get right, receive salvation and keep it moving. So when these demons would come to you, you said it was all audio. Did they say stuff to you like, I'm going to kill you? Or say something freaky? I mean, what did they say that put that fear in your heart?
Well, it was...
But you have a visual as well.
You know, every once in a while there was a visual, and when it started, I actually had... there was a circumstance in my room sometime around... it was in February of 2013, where I felt as though the room had gotten thicker. You know, the air was thicker. And it was almost like these lights started to appear, and it was kind of like the lights of a mirror ball, like in a disco. But it felt like being underwater. And there was this presence in there that didn't feel evil to me, but it was more soothing, because I had just been through a year of deep depression, and you know, I couldn't get my mind off of this woman. And I felt as though I was being gifted. And then right after that, I started having these explosions of creative ideas, which were wonderful. But then when I was just at the height of feeling like, wow, I was helping people with advice in their lives. I was talking in parables. I mean, that was just amazing to me. And then just when I was getting happy about all that, all of a sudden, boom, I'm surrounded by all of these demons. And the thing that they did was they figured out what I loved most, and it was still that woman. And so because I was focused on her, they came around me to tell me awful lies about her. Like that she had slept with my family, that she had been plotting to kill me, that she was behind all of the abuse and behind them being around me, like she had sent them. They were really trying to
illusional time. So you were thinking stuff and got paranoid. And what made you know that what you was thinking wasn't true, opposed to the demons putting that in your head?
You know, it was so real that sometimes I didn't. And you know, you're right. When you mentioned before that I chuckled a little bit, the reason I kind of laugh about it now is because it was so traumatic that if I don't laugh, I'll cry. And
I understand
it. Looking back, there were times when I came close to death. I really did. And a lot of those times were lies telling me, well, she's actually in town. And I would look out the window and I would actually see her in like a spirit form walking. And I would run out of the house that I was living in Alameda, California. And there'd be nothing there and I'd feel stupid. And periodically, you know, they would keep me awake for so long at a stretch that just the lack of sleep would contribute to me feeling like it was more real than it was. And then that was really the danger, is that they would confuse my mind so much and keep me from sleeping so much that I would the next day, you know, get in the car and not be a careful driver, or I wouldn't look both ways before crossing the street, things like that. And it got really intense for a while there. Yeah.
Well, wow. Callers, if you got a question to ask my guest, call in to 347-945-6003 and hit the number 1 on your phone. Let me know on the switchboard that you have a question, because we're going to take a little commercial break and come right back, because I have a lot of questions, I'm sure, like other people, and I'm going to try to think of what you probably want to know. If you're too bashful to call in, I'm going to ask the question, but you stand by. We'll be right back.
And now, the art of love.
My lady wears the best, or she wears nothing at all. And that's why authoress Terry E. Lyle has designed her own personal fragrance collection. She has 10 to choose from. They are Unmasked, Insane, Confessions, Peeling Back the Mask, Forgiveness, Say It Ain't So, Speechless, Exposed, In the Bag, and Wow. They all have a fruity and hint of light flower smell. Some descriptions could be a soft, tantalizing, fresh aroma, tropical and exotic sweet smell of light flowers and melon scent. The smell of romance is in the air. A 3.4-ounce bottle of perfume is $60. An 8-ounce bottle of lotion is $20. They all smell so good to me. But you don't have to take my word for it. Go to her personal website at www.terrylyle.com. That's www.terrylyle.com. Or you can reach her direct. The number, 443-956-8753. That's 443-956-8753. And make sure that you specify which bottle of perfume or lotion you wish to purchase. Terry accepts PayPal and all other major credit cards. All products have a money-back guarantee on all fully unused containers. Make your choice today. And oh, don't forget, when the mood is right and you're relaxed, then listen to Unmasked with Terry E. Lyle every Friday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio. Well, if you excuse me, I like to get back to making it do what it do, baby. Peace.
One of my good friends, Samuel Alexander Sr., happy birthday tomorrow. Hugs and kisses. And I hope you have many, many more. And our guest, Ewan, he has been tormented by demons and the supernatural. And it started when he was in high school messing up that Luigi boy. Now, if y'all got one, you better throw it in the trash and burn it because it brings nothing positive, let me tell you. But you ain't got to listen to me. Just listen to his story. And on the break, our song earlier was Luther Vandross, If Only for One Night, and that particular song just played was Whitney Houston, Shoot, Shoot. It was played in that movie, Waiting to Exhale. So I'm going to get right back to my guest. How you doing, Ewan?
Hey, doing great.
Wonderful. So we're going to get back to where we left off, and I know Tony got a question. And for all the listeners, if you got a question, hit the number one on your keypad. If you dial in to 347-945-6003, and hit the number one key. But when you first got caught up into that supernatural and it kept going centered around that woman, at any time did you think that woman was no good for you?
You know, I knew she was no good for me, but there was something peculiar that happened, and I've noticed that it happened to other people in history too, particularly men who had had relationships with Scarlet-type women. I started to think in a very precise and effective psychological way. And because I had this new psychological mind, my first thought was, even though that woman was so bad for me, I now have the knowledge I need to heal our relationship because she needs a psychologist.
And was it just sexual? Because you know how y'all men, y'all see the beauty and want to get that little booty call in before y'all get common sense. Was it a sexual thing for you after it was all said and done?
No, no. In fact, I had wanted to marry her at one point. It was not sexual at all, not sexually based. Although I was very attracted to her, it was much deeper, and it's really a shame too, because I think a lot of men are attracted to her for that reason, and because of their intentions, she became more and more like that. And that was another thing that I felt I could change in her life. And, you know, of course, you can't change anyone who doesn't want to be changed. And
exactly.
That's one
I
of the problems.
Poison, but my co-host, Tony, bless his heart, he has a question. He's been waiting patiently. Tony, go ahead and ask your question.
Yes, Evan. I was sitting here listening to you know, what Charlie was asking and what you were saying. I want to ask, do you think that the woman itself was based on the situation with the demons? You know, to me, it seemed like she was a demon herself. So, you know, could that have some
hey, bad ass, because a lot of the women I see out there today when they came straight from hell, but okay.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't tell us his story.
Well, you know, I think...
Like she was the source of the bad spirit to me, you know.
Well, I think... Aside, I don't think she was the source of the bad spirit as much as, you know, I think the notion that there are angels and demons on our shoulders, I think that comes from the fact that we are all surrounded by angels and demons. And I think that women in her position who act the way she did, for instance, she vandalized my home and she stole my car at one point.
She was a nut.
I think that she and others like her are particularly susceptible to the demons because they hear them in a more clear way, and because that they associate with people at a lower vibrational level, you know, at night, and with people that are less than honest and people at a low vibration. And
mm-hmm.
because of that, it's not that she's the source of the problem, it's that she has been around the source of the problem so much that she starts to mimic it. You know, the longer you hang around anybody, you start to become like them. Well, she hung around people who hung around this type of behavior that sourced itself from these little whispers.
Can I ask you another question?
Sure.
How at this point do you feel about this lady at this point? Because at some point, I'm hearing that you probably still care about her by the way you talk.
Yeah, you know, when I had that experience in the room with you know, feeling underwater, I really became like some of the texts say, egoless. I no longer really cared too much about myself as much as who and what I loved and the world around me. And so even though I was really tortured, but I feel like I still have compassion for people who are surrounded by demons and don't know any other way to act except to follow their instructions. I think people like that need more compassion. And unfortunately, it usually takes them hitting a severe bottom to be willing to listen to it.
Let me ask you a question. Are you, your experience as far as the work field, are you into social work or psychology or anything like that? Because quiet is kept. If I was to see a guy that had all those being able to be channeled from those low vibrations and he act like he was a demon from hell, I would kick him to the curb. I would not trying to see if I can make him better. All you got to do is let my antennas go up one time, and that's it, that's all. I mean, to what you was doing, sound like you was a sucker for love.
Well, see, the thing about it is, well, yeah, you're right. And the other thing is that, you know, I've had relationships before that were bad, and they're easy to detach from. What was difficult about this one was it was on a sine wave, really. It was, and that's actually the name of one of my new short stories, is Sine Waver, because it went severely bad, and then it would change and become severely good. I mean, we would have great moments where the love felt really real and intense, and then they would be followed by abandonment and persecution. And that's really the pattern of what the demons were doing to me as well.
Well, Ewan, I mean, let me tell you, darling, as far as women go, when you find a woman that has those highs and those lows, that woman is probably on medication or she's bipolar. Ain't nothing special mm-hmm. about that, you know. And a lot of times when you get so tired of somebody's crap, you say, this is it, that's all, I'm done with you. And, yeah, they're on turn around and act pleasant because they don't want you to go nowhere because you're still providing a service, whether it's financial, whether it's mental support or whatever, you know. I mean, see mm-hmm. for what it is, you know. Person probably suffered from depression, you didn't know it. She just probably was a bona fide nut, medicated. You know, it was nothing special. But I heard you talk about the scarlet letter for my listeners. Can you explain what you mean when you were talking about the scarlet letter?
Well, throughout history, I just noticed when all of this took shape, I was finding it easier and easier to see patterns in history. And, of course, when I was trying to figure out my own personal problems, I was looking towards patterns of social issues, you know, like, well, personal social issues. And I would see things like Fyodor Dostoevsky, for instance, was one of the first people that I researched a little bit. And he was the Russian writer who is regarded as one of the greatest psychologists in our time. You know, he influenced Freud, and he wrote the book Crime and Punishment. And he had a relationship with a woman, her last name was Suslova, and I remember reading about her, and she sounded exactly like my girlfriend because she would she made him very much in love, and then she would turn around and destroy his life. And that's really what happened to me over the course of several years with my girlfriend. And at the end of it all, Mr. Dostoevsky started to become a writer and a poet and a great psychological thinker. And so when I read that, I correlated that with what happened to me, and I thought, wow, this is amazing. And then I tried to find more information about people this had happened to. And once again, there was a Roman emperor, Tiberius, which like the middle name of James T. Kirk from Star Trek, Tiberius. And this emperor also had been married to a woman who was known to be a whore in Rome. And she ruined his life over and over, and yet he came up with some of the most innovative, creative ideas for Rome back thousands of years ago. There seems to be a correlation with women who destroy men to the point of disaster and then this rebirth somehow. And I noticed it again when I would look into other poets like Donnay or Edgar Allan Poe, who wrote about Lenore. And if you look at the entomology of names, the name Lenore is a derivative of Elena or Helen, which mm-hmm. was the Scarlet Woman of Troy. She started the Trojan War. And throughout history, there are all of these bizarre love triangles that precede the rebirth of these men who love scarlet women. And it's
all
very,
right,
very odd.
And what about the scarlet woman that was in a time when they was colonizing America, and she had this affair with this minister there, and they made her wear the scarlet letter A and put her out there on display?
Yeah. You know, to be honest, I don't remember all of that story. I was just looking into you know, the modern renditions of Scarlet Women and some of the things that were written more in a dogmatic sense. But yeah, that's another one too. And I think what happens with writers especially is that they go through the same thing that I've gone through, and then they write about it in metaphor. So when you're reading the book Scarlet Letter, it's a metaphor for the same thing that you're reading about when you read about, like Lilliput, for instance, because it's all about Lilith. Lilith is potentially the spirit that you feel that comes to you initially to grant you a better life before all the demons arrive. She's like, no spirit ever told me their name, so I can't be sure. I'm quoting this from things that I've read.
My co-host Tony has a question. I had to mute him for a minute because for some reason I'm hearing a clicking sound over there. But Tony, you have a question for all guests?
Yes. I noticed that you still address this lady as your girlfriend. And another question: you say you have seen some of these. You did these demons visually. What did you see when you encountered these demons visually? The first question is, why do you still address this lady as your girlfriend, and what do you see of these demons when you see them?
Well, to the first question, the last time I talked to her, she was my girlfriend. So it's... Part of the reason that I was so under such a depression is that she never ended the relationship. There, you know, psychologically, there was no closure. You know, I never got an explanation. The last thing I knew when I was speaking to her was that she was going to move in with me to another city in California, and I was prepared to take over the rent and all of the payments that she had for debts, while she found a new job, which I had also looked for. You know, everything was set up for a marriage, and then one day I just got nothing. And then a few months after that, I found out she was stealing my car.
I don't know what she had other than her striking looks, or maybe she was just dumb and you wanted to feel some kind of power because she was a little, you know, airheaded, because ain't no way. I'm listening to you talk. You talking about, I got the place set up. I'm going to pay all her bills. It's like a marriage, blah, blah, blah. You know, quasi's kept. A lot of men won't even do that unless you're married. And even though you call it love, I mean, the sex had to be off the wall, because ain't no way this chick can act out and act all crazy and I'm having these demons and I'm putting a connection that she got something to do with it because of her vibrations are not as my own. I mean, at what point did you feel like, damn the love? I mean, this is common sense. Let me get away from this chick because I don't want this in my life. I mean, at some point, when did you say, it ain't worth it?
Right, well, that's where the demons come in again, because there were plenty of times I said that, and what would happen is, the little voices would say, she's actually in love with you, or she's actually not calling you because she's in trouble right now and she needs your help. And it would be all of these emotional ploys to get me back into interest so that they could drop me back down again. It was this
up
and
down. And how long were y'all together?
3 years. And it was on and off, just like the torture from the demons. It was an up-down sine wave of being together for a month, being abandoned for 2 months, being together for 3 weeks, being abandoned for a weekend. You know, she would disappear places.
Well, let me ask you a question. You got any brothers? Because I know how to handle this situation if you think just like you. Okay. I know how to handle that, man. If y'all like that in your family, tell one of your family members over to me, man. I'll treat them nice. I won't treat them all jacked up because y'all going to do all that. Come on now. At some point, I'd be saying, damn, are you stupid? And I ain't trying to be disrespectful, but like, what? Did you not have any sisters who could tell you kick that chick to the curb?
Well, you know, everybody I knew did say that, and I guess they got tired of me, you know, saying that I wished that things could be better with her. And you know, part of it was, I think, that I was being up down tortured by these demons, and for a while, you know, before that pink moon, the supernatural connections that I was making were not bad at all. In fact, they were quiet. They were more like channeling, where mm-hmm. I could just think of a problem or something I wanted to write about, and it would just flow to me. It was like grace. It was beautiful. And the so I wasn't worried at that point, and all I really wanted to do was find out why she stopped talking and end our relationship. In fact, she lived in Las Vegas, and when I returned to Las Vegas a few months after the whole ordeal with the pink moon, I tried to contact her, and you know, I went to where she worked at a casino, and I intended to forgive her for the car theft and tell her that, you know, it was fine to end our relationship and no hard feelings. And when I did that, I remember I showed up around 3 o'clock in the afternoon and told someone she worked with, because she worked in the back at the desk, to tell her that I was there, and I just wanted to say something quickly to her and leave. And then I ended up waiting around a few hours, and it was really a big deal to me because of all the spirits. So I waited, and when she came out, she came out with three security guards and acted like I was a threat to her, and it turned into another ordeal where she wouldn't speak because she was afraid that I was so upset about the car theft and vandalism that I would hurt her probably. So I never
got
any type of closure.
For you. I got two suggestions. Listeners, I'm going to have to take a quick break. And if you call in to 347-945-6003, you can talk to our guests and ask some questions, because the show is live. But I got two suggestions for you. Number one, you can get into the Bible and ask God to give you some clarification about your footsteps. Or you can talk to a friend of mine named Susan Blair Hunt, and the commercial Kajama. Listen intently, get your pencil, get your ink pen, take some notes, and give her a call, and she can hook you up.
That sounds great.
Welcome to the new Kajama, where inspiration and transformation meet. We'd love it if you drop by and have some tea and crumpets with us. Now serving in the Kajama parlor, click on the teapot oracle and choose a lovely calorie-free pastry to reveal your special tarot card message from Spirit. Next, wander over to the library where you can relax and browse Kajama's weekly edition for spiritual articles, your inspirational message for the day, advice columns, and more. Interested in a particular subject? Kajama's library has a vast collection of spiritual articles and archives. In need of spiritual guidance? We've got the crystal ball all set up in the sitting room, where our gifted psychics are ready to provide the answers to your most pressing questions. Climb the grand staircase to the third floor balcony, where you can stargaze and read your daily horoscope, written by our renowned astrologer, Susan Blair Hunt. Once you've completed your tour, take the back stairs down to the chambermaid's kitchen, where we've gathered together a collection of spiritual recipes and divine confections to empower you on your journey of enlightenment in our spiritual toolbox. Thanks for visiting Kajama's lovely spiritual estate, and don't be a stranger. Feel free to drop in any time, grab a cup of tea, and make yourself at home. Kajama.com, come for inspiration, stay for transformation.
You know, someone asked me recently, what do I do when I have downtime? Thought about this for a moment, and in my mind I thought about a nice, hot, soothing bubble bath, candles, a nice glass of wine with the right book to read. And instantly I thought about authorist Terry E. Lyle, because I knew I was guaranteed to get a good laugh or some soul searching, just like a few of her other books, Insane, Peeling Back the Mask, and her latest, Exposed. This author has written 9 books, and I can't pick a favorite. But my advice to you is to make your own choice by going to her personal website, where she even signs the books for free, at www.terrylyle.com. Or go to Author House, Amazon, Barnes & Noble's, or your local retailer to get a copy and start your own collection today. This is the last time I'm going to say, you can't borrow mine.
Well, welcome back to another episode of Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle. And I want to thank everybody for spending that Friday with me, because you could have been anywhere. But my friends from north to south, east to west, thank you for tuning in. And I want to give a special shout out to this handsome guy, Buster Moore, out of Nebraska. How you doing, darling? And his handsome son, Kelly. I love you. Hugs and kisses. But we're going to get back to our guest, Ewan. And, you know, Ewan, this brother, he he had this chick that, you know, was bringing demonic stuff into his environment. You know, I'm going to ask him, did her damn head spin around? Because what's really going on? I would have been kicked that heifer to the curb. But, you know, that's just me. I ain't never lucky enough to find somebody stupid enough that, you know, allow me to do that to them. But I ain't calling you stupid, Tony. I mean, Ewan, I just got to put that out there. Man, ain't no way, man. They would eat you up in my neighborhood, but I see that my co-host Tony got a question. Go ahead and ask Ewan a question, darling.
Yes, Ewan. I was listening to you earlier when I asked you the question about, you know, the lady. And you said that she didn't give you closure in the relationship. Now, what she was doing to you, I'm kind of thinking that you should have been able to say, hey, enough is enough. You know, you doing all the right things. She's doing all the wrong things.
You know, Tony, I think Ewan's owning up to it, but you know how they say the woman's vajayjay, you know, the poo nanny. I think he was whipped, you know, because he put up that crap ain't no way, but you know, it's all in love.
Yeah, you know,
I don't think no poo nanny that good, you know what I'm saying? Because anytime
somebody... What is it you're gonna say?
No, I'm trying to tell you, I don't think no poo nanny that good. Anytime somebody putting you through she had put you through, you need to put the closure to that. You know what I'm saying? Because some things you have to reach into your own mind and say, hey, enough is enough.
Yeah,
you know
exactly.
Well, Tony, I'll put it this way. If her poo nanny made him put a ball in, if he got some of this, man, he probably want to kill himself if I decide to walk out.
I'm going to say this. A person can only do to you what you allow them to do to you.
Yes. But let's stop badgering our guests because we want him to talk. Okay, I apologize for getting a little rough with you, Ewan. But, you know, explain your story to us because I'm sure the listeners want to know. You know, all you got to do is call in 347-945-6003 and ask your own question. Just hit the number one key.
Well, you know, it's funny, and I don't mind being put to task for it. And you know, I did want to give her closure, and that's one of the troubling aspects of this, and it's really part of something that's a little more, it's more methodical and organized than just spirits that are talking to you. It's really, it's put into the form of a game. And if you go to my website, it's www.ewanlilisi, and it's Ewan and then Lillicii.com. I have a page there. It's called The Game. And I have photographs there and a really detailed breakdown of what I went through. And it's really systematic, and I found that when I got into it, there were very comforting and wonderful aspects of it, and that's what keeps you in the game, is this, it's this feeling that everything's going to work out all right and that somehow all the trials and tribulations you've been through have actually been worth something more. And that's one of the things that kept me going throughout this whole ordeal. And I think the fact that it also kept me away from people, it kind of suspended my thoughts of time passing. Because I haven't been in any relationships or even been in any situations where I wanted to be since I broke up with her. And so that's kind of suspended time in my mind. But
well,
let me
ask you this. Do you think you just like them crazy chicks? You know, because I've had a friend of mine, she had this one guy she used to be with. And when they were together, she was extremely clingy. As soon as he started seeing somebody else, she would go to his mama's house, bust out his windows and stuff, and he kept taking her back. They got married, and I don't get that because if you show off before we get together close, I be feeling like I'm relieved that I saw this in time, that I didn't get caught up with a knucklehead, you know, and baby, you better get back up on the horse, man. Forget that chick. You don't need closure. Your closure is that, thank God, she's out of my space, and keep it moving.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I think to try and put a silver lining on it, I think it was I also needed to learn something about the flow of life and that it is, you know, ups and downs. And, you know, there's a song by Led Zeppelin, Stairway to Heaven. I think that's talking about a sine wave that points upwards. Because when you draw that out on paper, it looks like a stairway. You're taking steps. You go up a little, and then you go a little bit back. And then you go up a little, and you go a little bit back. And that's really what our relationship felt like, was this stairway, except it went down instead of up. But it, you know, it was the wrong direction, but it was still, it still felt like steps.
Okay.
And like it was going somewhere.
Like you said, escalator in a damn mall. It takes you from one level to the next. But once you go down to that one level, you get off. You don't keep going up and down unless you're a child. You know, when you try to go the opposite way that you're supposed to be going. You know, but even I give you credit, man, because obviously, you know, when you love somebody, you love hard and you love deep. But, you know, it's time to let that go because, like you said, you're already bald-headed, and if the hair was to grow back, it'd be white because you're all stressed out and everything. You know, some if she was so pretty that got you trapped, go find you an ugly woman, you know. And in that way, you know, the love would be real because she'd be happy to have you. And you'd be saying, well, yeah, I get all the fringe benefits. You know, she ain't the prettiest thing, but she ain't crazy. But you did.
Yeah.
But you did have a question that Tony asked you before that you never did answer, and he asked you once on those episodes where you saw a vision or whatever. What did it look like? Did it look like Satan? Did it look like a dog's head? I mean, but you never answered that. So when you saw that visual, what did it look like?
Well, actually, it's funny you mentioned that because I'm just checking on my site right now. I've got a video. They were all different kinds, and one of them was an owl. He's the one I saw the most. It was a six-foot-tall, you know, human-like owl that stood guard at my door, and he was always screaming at me that this woman was about to walk up. And so I was always running to the door to look out the peephole. It was frustrating and outrageous. But I actually, one night, I put my iPhone up to the peephole, and I took a video, and you can actually see the outline of the owl out there talking and, you know, beckoning me on in front of my door. And you kind of have to look, you know, step back from the monitor, and you'll see it clearly. And there's also another spirit to his left that's kind of chatting in his ear.
Okay, well, I'm going to get to your website a little later, but I just want to say this because I know Tony have another question. At any given time when you were seeing all this stuff, you know, and I'm thinking that you're having a psychotic break, was you on drugs? Was you medicated? Was you drinking? I mean, because if not, did that stuff that you went through with her take you to drinking? Because, I mean, I would have been ready to flip out by now if I was you.
No, you know, actually, and when you said earlier about coming to your hood. It's funny that I lost all of my fear initially. It was sometime around January or February in 2013. I had been drinking a lot, and there was a moment there where I just decided I wasn't going to anymore, and I haven't had more than half a glass of wine in over it's like 18 months now. And it's not because I'm counting the days. It's just because I all of a sudden just didn't want it anymore. And the same thing happened with paranoia, with fear of other people. I was completely healed by this presence that was in my room one night, and that felt to me kind of like Jesus Christ. I mean, that was wonderful. And it really gave me the strength to get through the ordeal. And I needed every ounce. And it felt really great. And that's one of the people, the beings I attribute my survival to, really, is that I was channeling for a while what I felt like was Jesus Christ, because he was having me write things down. Like, for instance, one night I wrote down a very short explanation of the pyramid that's on the back of the dollar bill. And it wasn't
really?
The new...
What did you write down?
I have it printed out here. I could even read it to you guys. It's I wrote down that time is a perception of the individual. And if a race of beings could interpret life and reality at a trillion frames a second, which is already possible with some of the photography that we have now, you know, they can cut up a second into a trillion frames. If they could somehow project their consciousness into a vessel that was limited to perception at roughly 80 frames a second, like the human eye is, for instance, then those beings, and these could be souls, I mean, that would increase their lifespan to the perception that it was limitless, you know, millions or billions of years. And that started to get my wheels turning on, wow, imagine that this is an explanation for why time feels relative to some beings rather than others. It could explain why angels live for millions and billions of years. So then I started thinking, okay, now apply this up and down the dimensions. And at the highest level, you have a perception of everything at once, which you could consider the lifespan of the universe. And it's the top of the pyramid. It's that eye, the all-seeing eye, or the, if you want to think of it as God or the force or the, you know, whatever you call it, the light. That's the eye. It can see everything at once. And next, if you consider the facets of sight, not just the speed of frames that you can see at, but the clarity, it would be like the ultimate telescope looking at everything at the ultimate speed anywhere at once. And such a thing would require more than three dimensions, because you could see around objects and whatnot. So this starts to explain why some people think we have more than three dimensions. But working backwards from... And working backwards from the eye and then going down the pyramid, the removal of dimensions would correlate to a diminishing sight of all kinds, all the way down to the bottom of the pyramid where you would just have a point of darkness. And now, how would you express that on paper?
I would always express it.
You know, you would do it as a pyramid.
You know, I would say I got the front visual, I got my peripheral vision, and what goes down, you know, that I can't see without moving my head, that's that darkness, and that's the shape of a pyramid. You know, I wouldn't make it all detailed, but I do believe there are different planes because, you know, we have three dimension, and then we have another dimension where people say that we have a double existence where someone else is occupying the same time and space that we are.
And that's one of the things that that's one of the things the spirits told me during the game. They said I had a doppelganger, and when I on April 25th in 2013, I was told that I went through rapture. What happened was I was sitting at my desk, and I felt an electrical pulse in the back of my head, and it threw me off of my chair. It was like a bomb going off, but there was no destruction. There was just the feeling of it. And a spirit talked to me and said, "You are now entering the dark side of the moon." And I was like, "What?" And then another spirit from the wall said, "The master is coming. The master is coming." Yeah, and I didn't know what that meant either. And I looked out, and there were these little cartoons on the curtain. And this is where I think Madonna got her idea for the Material Girl, if she went through this ordeal, because a lot of the little spirits I saw were little two-dimensional shadows on the curtain, and they came across as little boys and girls. And when I looked out the window, though, all the lights on my street were off except for my bedroom light. It was scary. And what I saw next was an apparition of smoke. And one of the ghosts said, I felt like this is death. This is Grim Reaper. And another voice that had, and I believe that this was the Jesus entity that I had been talking to with a lot of excitement and joy. You know, he said, just get in your bed and cover yourself up and tell him not to take your soul. And that being hung over me, and the temperature dropped 20 or 30 degrees, and I talked to it telepathically and said, "Hey, don't take my soul." And he said, "Oh, okay, give me $5. I mean, it was so bizarre. It was like this cartoon movie, but it was life and death. And that's one of the things that made it feel demonic, is that there was no compassion. It was just a bunch of jokes about some of the most serious topics that I held dear to my heart. And that's why it felt so evil.
Tony, he has a question that he want to ask you. And Tony, go ahead and ask your question, darling.
Yes, sir. I'm listening to you, and you sound to be a very intelligent guy. And I seem to know what you're talking about and everything. You know what you've been through and everything. But I would like to ask you, and I would like to make a statement. In your life going forward, and I hope you're going forward, that you include God in your life more. Because if you include God in your life more, things are going to be better for you. Because everybody needs their spiritual side. I don't care who you are, what you are, or what you think you are. You need your spiritual side. The next thing I want to know is, how is your life progressing now? As what you've been through, how you've been through it, how are you moving along now with your life and doing what you do?
Well, actually, that's really the second part of the pyramid that I didn't explain yet, which was, thinking back to the I and trying to understand why the founders of our country would put something that was evil on the back of the dollar bill. I just didn't believe it. And my explanation actually made me feel really good because I have a blog about this. It's called Immortality is what I wrote about it. But it's, when I thought about how you would display a three-dimensional person on a sheet of paper, because I don't know if you've ever heard of this, but there's an exhibit in a museum called Bodies, and they slice up bodies into thin pieces so you can see the insides and understand it better. If you think of two-dimensional people and how many pieces of paper it would take to create a 3D person if you were drawing them on a two-dimensional paper, if you think of it that way and then think of God living or being within many higher dimensions than we are, then consider that we are here in 3D, and somewhere we have our soul in the fourth or fifth or sixth dimension, and all these other connections. You can fill up that pyramid with all of these connections and start to think of them that way. And because they're all connected, the pyramid makes perfect sense for God. What it means is, God is at the top, and we are all reflections of every shade of gray all the way down to dark.
Okay, pump the brakes, Ewan. Pump the brakes. That pyramid thing and that eye on the back of the dollar bill, that's mm-hmm. the sign of the Illuminati, and it's satanic. You know, everyone knows that. But and the reason why, there's nothing special about it, is just that the Bible will tell you that Satan is a principality of the air. So Satan is ruling earth and everything right now. That is why that's on the back of the dollar bill. You know, don't connect that eye and that pyramid with God. Ain't got nothing to do with God. Trust and believe. If you do your research, you'll find that out. It's nothing special. But, this happened a year ago, all these changes and these forces, and you still haven't resigned yourself yet to have closure. Darling, you don't need closure by having that young lady who tried to rip you off, try to steal your car and all these other things to come back and say, Ewan, honey, I think it's over between us. Would that make it feel better? Can I pretend that I'm her so you can have some closure? I mean, because you got to move on. Because if you ain't into drugs, you need to be into drugs, because the story you telling sound like, when do you stop? When do you let go? Because I ain't tripping. I ain't trying to clown you or nothing. But, baby, let me find a man that's devoted and a good man. I know what to do with him. But, this chick has showed you many times that she's out there. And then you have demons sitting on your damn shoulder. And you got eagles. You look through the peephole out front your door. And this old crazy shit only happened a year ago. And you still worry about her. Come on now. Talk to me.
Well, I
need some free counseling. You don't have a psychologist. Come on now.
Well, it's horrible.
Let go and let God. Let go and let God.
Yeah.
It's horrible because I'm the best psychologist now that I know, and it's funny because you see that mirrored in a lot of TV shows. Like if you remember the old show Cheers, and
I like this show.
Yeah, Dr. Fraser Crane. He was a psychologist, and who was his wife? It was
Lilith.
Lilith, exactly. And you see that a lot where you find in TV writing, psychologists are paired with women who seem to be sociopathic like that because they're mirroring this game. And I think, you know, one of the reasons I stayed in, and again, when you go to my website, you'll see I took some pictures of other things, not video, but actual fabric. That's another way that the spirits came to me, was on fabric and in three dimensions, because sometimes I would throw down my clothing and it would just fall into a pattern that made an animal. For instance, I've got a shirt with lines on it that turned itself into a zebra. And if you look on my site, I've got a photograph of it, and I've got some others. And, you know, people will say, well, you can fold the shirt that way. Well, okay.
Check out your website if I get off this show, trust me. And our listeners are going to do the same thing. But, Ewan, we got to take a really quick break. Go ahead and get you some water or something to drink, wet your whistle. We're going to come right back. And, man, I got to get a little deeper in that story you're telling us about, because it's interesting at best. All right, you stand by and hold on. We'll be back in 2 and 2.
Eventually, the truth will come out of the darkness for everyone to see.
Hello? Hey, this is Mike. Hey, how y'all doing? Oh, yeah, everything's good. Just been really busy. Sorry I haven't been here. Yeah. I forgot, but I will be there next week. Right now.
There are times in your life when your faith will be challenged.
Hey man, I want to share something with you. I accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. He's been really wonderful to me. Don't you agree?
I feel like I'm my own God. For things that's been happening to me, I feel like I've been making those things happen.
Wait a minute. You mean to tell me you don't believe in God?
Well, I haven't seen him.
The truth can come in shocking form.
Who is this, man? Oh, hell no. I know ain't nobody up in my house when I'm at work all day, going day.
Terry E. Lyle. Check out her website and on Blog Talk Radio every Friday at 7:30 p.m.
I'm
Wow, that was a Temptation. My girl. You know, and I played that song because our special guest, he met this honey, man. He felt
Temptations.
To get mad.
Forever.
Going to pay all the damn bills. He started seeing demons and shit. The chick tried to steal his car. And he was still stuck on stupid. I mean, they say it's power in the vajayjay, but my God, this chick must have had $1 million between her legs because Ewan was not trying to go nowhere. Now, this happened a year ago, and he still haven't had a relationship with a real woman. Like, my advice was, hey, get you an ugly woman, okay? You know, that way it's all about you, you know, and you won't be seeing this stuff. Now, he said he wasn't doing drugs, but he spent a little time in the bottle. Now, you know, they put ships in a bottle. They need to harness spirit of hers and put her ass in a bottle and send it down the river because she ain't nothing nice, ain't nothing good. I hope he told everybody who she is so your other guys out there who run into her can run the opposite direction. But that's just my advice. Well, I don't have no degree, you know what I'm saying? But I'm going to welcome my guest back, Ewan. Ewan, how you doing, sweetie pea?
Hey, I'm doing great.
You know I got to clown your ass because this is just too bizarre for me to digest. But, you know, I'm going to try to calm down. I see that Tony got another question, my co-host, who is filling in for Shalonda, my regular co-host, who fiance is sick at the hospital with some coronary issues. So my prayers go out to them. Hope he gets better soon because he's supposed to get married next September. But, Tony, go ahead and ask Ewan a question because this brother, he got his heart strings on his shoulder, on his arm. Don't knock him off. Let him...
So my thing is, how is your life progressing now? And where is God in your life right now? And another thing, I'm listening to you. I mean, you're listening to God. I'm listening to everything you're saying. But there's something missing somewhere, you. And I mean, you need to let me know something. And I got to clown you.
He had no good sex. What he had, he thought was good, man. He needed to get a real woman to rock his world and straighten his ass out.
I got to clown you a little bit, too, because, you know, I can't understand how an intelligent brother such as yourself can let somebody slip you across like that. But I want to know how things are going on with you now and how your connection with God is and where you see God in your life.
Well, you know, it's funny, first of all, that you were alluding to her as a river, I believe, or water. I can't remember exactly what you said, but the Johnny Cash has a song, Big River, and I think it's exactly about chasing a scarlet woman. You know, he chases this woman up and down, and he finally lets her go when he gets to the sea. And I think he's talking about, you know, he's chasing a woman until he sees the truth and finally lets her be. But getting back to where I'm at, I'm really coming back into the connection that was given to me in January, February of 2013, which is I'm starting to feel that spirit again that just fills me with ideas and good perceptions and perspectives on my own future and the future around me rather than always looking toward the past and trying to deal with that pain. And I think part of it is just being hassled so much by the pain that I feel like I've been through the purgatory of that, and I don't need that anymore. And it's really starting to come through in terms of the things that I'm writing. You know, I wrote a couple of books of poetry, and I also I actually kept a diary for the time between the pink moon and October of 2013, and I wrote it all down in a book titled Kelly Yvonne, which is on Amazon.
Well, explain to people what's the pink moon. What's the significance that you keep bringing up the pink moon so they will understand?
Well, just in my research on what was going on here, because I realized that there was an organized game going on around me. Because not only was I hearing these things, but people around me were acting strange like they were possessed too. And I was running into people who looked similar to people I had known throughout my life. And all the spirits would say is that I was on a different world. I was a doppelganger. And these were people that were the same, but their bodies had changed. They were trying to screw with my mind. And you know, the pink moon, typically, it doesn't mean anything except that it's the April moon. And they, if you look in a farmer's almanac, they call the moons different things. And the full moon in April is the pink moon. But it's also attributed to times in the world where chaos happens. And I think this is why. It's because there's something about the pink moon's energy and magnetic field that really energizes these spirits and makes them go, you know, supercharged into people's ears. And I think that's what causes confusion around pink moons. So anytime you're like in the full moon in April, watch out because things will go haywire.
Where's your connection with God is right now? And I asked you that, and you evading that. You never asked me. You never answered it. What is your connection with God, and what's keeping you going? Or do you have any connection with God, or do you believe in God?
Yeah, actually, I definitely believe in Jesus. My perception of God, I don't go to a church to pray. I meditate at home, and I think on a higher purpose, and then that purpose comes to me, and it writes through my hand. I've got a short little pamphlet I wrote on my site too called Improved Liberty, where one night I thought about how we could make our country better, and I thought of a way to end poverty. I mean, and I wrote it down and I put it out there for free. You can download it from my homepage. And it's a detailed understanding of the few things we can do to eliminate poverty in the United States, to eliminate struggle, and at the same time increase patriotism and stop this police state that's kind of going haywire these days. And these were very simple ideas that came to me while I was trying to block out the little whispers and demons crap that was going on around me and just really focus on a white light and improving not only my life and a life for Kelly is really what I was thinking of, but also when I thought of the things that I loved most and where I wanted my future to be, all of a sudden all of the answers that I was coming up with for my own life started to be answers for everybody around me too. And that's what really, you know, it's really a miracle. And I think I wrote something about this too, is the difference between miracles and fairy tales. And
well,
the difference,
you know,
even,
let me just say this, you know, way back in the day, you know, when I was experimenting with my life and everything, and, you know, I smoked some marijuana, you know, had some skunk weed because it smelled like skunk, and it was like that potent shit, you know. Now, when I smoked that weed, man, I thought I was Einstein, man. I was thinking all kinds of fantastic stuff, blah, blah, this and blah, blah, that. And then, you know, then I get the munchies and get to eating and stuff, and then I come down, and then I can't remember exactly what I said to make the connection, but, you know, my brain had expanded, you know, because I was high, you know. Now, when you was having all these things that you were saying that you can prevent poverty and everything else, was you high?
No, but I had not slept for 3 days. And you know what
it
is?
Deprivation. It's, well, that could be it too, you know.
Yeah, and you know what I think it is?
Lacking in sleep or something, your mind just expands because it's open and everything else is channeled out. But I hope you can get that information. Send a book to the president because we need to stop hunger right here in America before we should then try to stop it in some other country. And if you think that book is valid, send it on to the government. Give them a chance to, you know, check it out and see if there's some validity to it. Because, you know, I don't believe just because you're in the White House, you got all the answers. Maybe just people like you and me might have an answer that can fix things. Because I believe that, personally, the homeless thing is ridiculous when they got all these abandoned buildings and stuff that they can house people in and have some kind of monitoring situation like they have for these senior citizen homes. Let people have a place to live, you know, and they're not paying rent. help them find jobs while they're in this place before a short period of time, you know, get them off the streets, because when they're on the streets, people are getting paranoid because you don't want to walk past them because you're thinking that because they don't have anything, they're going to take what you got. So, you know, depending on where you might see them and what neighborhood you're in, you know, so even if you think that your book got some validity to it, my God, send that book over to the White House and also send me a copy so I can check it out. But anyway, tell everybody about your website again and the name of your book. And then we're going to ask you some more questions.
Okay. Well, my website is Ewan Lilisi. It's my name, E-W-A-N, and then LILLICII.com. And I have several little books, but the one that documents the demon struggle, the rapture, is called Kelly Yvonne. And it's Kelly Yvonne is a daily diary.
Was her name Kelly?
Yeah, and if you look into history, a lot of these scarlet women have names with LL in
them. They say there's power in a name. You know what I'm saying? I've heard it all my life in the Bible. Like, you don't name your child Jezebel or Nimrod or whatever, you know, because there's power in a name. So, you know, you had your brain expand into all this stuff and everything. Do you think there's power in a name? And if so, do you think Kelly is a name that is attached to some weirdness?
Yeah, and you know what?
I know
it
my
came
friend
up
in the press and said, "What the hell am I talking about?"
You know.
Well,
you know,
if,
to corroborate this, look at the Super Bowl this year. There was a commercial where there was a guy that met a girl named Kelly in a bar. And then he went down an elevator, which is a metaphor for going into the underworld. And he was on the elevator with another girl who was a twin. That's a metaphor for a doppelganger. And he was in the elevator with a llama, which is another metaphor for naming conventions, because a lot of these scarlet women have LL in their name, or they're named NN, like Yvonne. Yvonne is a big scarlet woman name. And
oh,
it just so happens,
okay.
Yeah, and it just so happens that the girl that I was in love with was Kelly Yvonne, so she was a double whammy, and
woo!
And in the and if you notice, it was the commercial with Arnold Schwarzenegger, and what does it show? It shows the guy getting out of the elevator in the underworld, and he has a game to play with Arnold Schwarzenegger, who was wearing a wig. He was pretending that he was a scarlet woman. So it's totally bizarre.
Because he's ugly. He's big and ugly. And if he was trapped into a woman, he was the ugliest woman anybody could see.
That's exactly right. It's a metaphor for what she is on the inside. She was
ugly.
Horribly
God.
Ugly.
I know, my Tony. He's Tony got another question he want to ask you. Tony, go ahead and ask the question. And Tony, whenever you're not asking a question, I hear this clicking sound on your end, because when I mute you, I don't hear it no more. So you better stop it, or I'm going to come to Baltimore and whip you.
It's not my condition. I'm not doing them. I'm just sitting here chilling. I got the phone in my hand, and I'm not doing nothing.
Find about something. Because something's clicking when I got your mic open.
Got it. But anyway,
all of his scarlet women are trying to get him on
Kelly
the cell phone.
Thing, the Kelly thing. It seems like Kelly don't leave your mind. When is Kelly going to ever leave your mind? Because what you need to do, and I'm going to tell you, but I'm going to go at you now. Kelly should be the thing of the past for you. Now, the books and everything that you wrote on it, that's probably be some closure for you. But I don't think you're going to never have no closer with Kelly. Somehow, some way, man, you're going to have to, I don't know, reach into your supreme being and say, well, look, get this girl out of my mind, because Kelly is not the one for you. And you shouldn't just be, you know, because of what Kelly done, you should not experience true love with somebody that can treat you right. So my question for you, when is you going to just forget about Kelly and just try to go on with your life and ask God to send you that perfect woman? Because he the one can do that. You know, we go out there and look for stuff, and we mess it up, see. You know, but if God sent it, it's the right one. So when you going to just let go and let God?
Well, you know, it's funny. There's another movie that metaphors this too, and it's called 500 Days of Summer. And in the movie, the guy, he's a writer who writes all these funny jingles for greeting cards, and he's in love with this Scarlet Woman who rebuffs him every step of the way for 500 days, and then they finally get to talk at the end, and she tells him, "I'm going to go marry somebody else," and leaves him. And I think in my mind, I left the relationship with Kelly a long time ago. It's mainly that I really want to have a conversation with her because I want to find out what she went through. Because when I back up for a second, I actually took her to court in Las Vegas for the vandalism to my house. She had broken a window. And when we were in court, it was, ironically, it was 12-12-12. It was December 12, 2012. And when we left the courthouse, she was a little bit ahead of me, and I saw her running down the street, looking over her shoulders up into the buildings like somebody was yelling at her. And at first I thought she must be running away from me because she thinks I'm going to be upset that she lied in court about, you know, not having done any of this stuff to me. But then I realized she wasn't looking back at me. She was looking up. And it didn't occur to me that she was anything but crazy at that point until I started hearing the voices too. And so, and then I saw the, you know, the fabric beings that would create themselves in my house and draw murals on my bed sheets. You know, I've got pictures of that too on my website. But and I challenge anybody to tell me they're Photoshop. The thing is, I really want to know what in the world she went through. And at this point, it's more of I'm very interested in finding out why she ran down the street, what she heard, and if she's still tormented.
You know, you need to let that go. Who cares what she saw? Because if you want to talk to her, all you're doing is inviting her to be back in your space. Because I got the impression that that is no longer an issue for you, seeing demons or signs as it materializing and the way your clothes fall on the floor or whatever. You know,
mm-hmm.
Once you got some kind of relief from that, why are you a glutton for punishment? Why would you want to keep bringing it back into your space?
I think for no other reason than I'd like to do what I'm doing right now, which is express what I went through and explain what it is a little bit as much as I can, so that if somebody else finds themselves in the same situation, they don't kill themselves or they don't lash out at the woman thinking that somehow she is a supernatural demon and then do something horrible like hurt or kill her. You know, these are things that people will do when demons whisper in their ear. And ultimately, the most evil that humans have to fear is evil that's done, you know, amongst themselves. These demons can speak all they want all day long, but until you act on the bad things they're telling you to do, then there's no real harm except to yourself. And I really don't want people to share harm with each other as a result of this crazy situation. So I just want to understand it as much as possible and express it and describe it to people so they don't make mistakes.
Well, you know, I think it's really simplistic. Say, look, I had this episode with this lady named Kelly Yvonne, and these things happen. And I advise you, if you see these things happen, pray about it, whatever. You know, because her telling you what she saw is just going to validate some more stuff in your head. Yeah, I saw that too. And then y'all going to think, because y'all got some connection, that maybe we ought to keep in contact. And then next thing you know, y'all going to fall your ass into bed and have sex. Next thing you know, you caught up again and you're going to be stuck. You know, but, you know, really, darling, I would let it go. Let sleeping dogs lie, as they say. But, Ewan, we got to take a little small break. We'll be back in 2 and 2.
if you ever gonna show me.
I had forgot that my mic was on mute, but let me go back to what I was saying. Forgive me for that pause right there. I guess Ewan said that his girlfriend, Kelly Yvonne, she was the reason he was seeing demons, and then he would see faces like eagles in the body of somebody else. And then when he take his clothes off, like, for instance, he have on striped clothes, when he drop them on the floor, he'll see shapes like zebras. Now, you know, and he said all this kind of confusion was going around with this chick. Now, you know, me per se, I don't know. But, you know, I think it all goes back to the chick and the sex, because Quaz's cat, man, I would kick that little booty to the curb, because, you know, it ain't the fact that she's pretty, because I myself is a cutie on duty. But you know something, I got to get a little deeper into this and ask, was it maybe even, was you into some freaky shit? Was you into that bondage and dominatrix? Because if it was that, come on over to my house, I'd have whipped that ass for free, baby, you know, and just held me up in the head, you know, Quasi's cat. I don't know what it is, but ain't nobody tell me that you stuck on Kelly Yvonne still a year later. And this chick has went from A to Z. She done broke the glass out your house. She done stole your car. I mean, you know, and you try to say it's a scarlet letter. But you know something, it started like this. You met this chick. You had some physical attraction. Y'all got in the bed. You thought you was in love. Your heart pumping off fast. You was going to move into a house and pay all the damn bills. And she just flipped left and right, up and down. And you don't know whether you're up or down. And you keep getting involved in that mess. And you say it's love. Well, you could have been stuck on stupid. But I think that, you know, that y'all had some freaky sex going on, and y'all ain't sharing it. Just tell me, what was it about her in the bedroom that got you all caught up?
Well, I don't know if it was the freakiest, but there she did have that in her past, and I think it wasn't as freaky as it was frequent. And, you know, okay. It was morning, noon, and night sometimes, and it just because it was so enjoyable. But getting back to, you know, her, I don't think she's responsible for the demons. I think it was just my own state of mind. I was so miserable for so long, and there's not many things that can make you that miserable except a woman who will destroy you like this. And so I think it was really the misery that attracted the negative powers around me to start interacting with my life.
Wow. Well, I see Tony, he has a question. I'm sure he's over there. He probably he's shaking his head because somebody said, what is really going on? What's your question, darling?
My thing is, I have a statement. To me, it seems like Kelly is going to always be a figment in your mind. And until you get that lady out of your mind, you're going to see your life going to be better because I don't see no one having that kind of control over someone. You know what I mean? If she the demon, cut that demon loose.
Step on that head.
And then find something else that's gonna be productive in your life. Because you seem like you're a productive individual, and you don't seem like you're intelligent, brother. I'm listening to what you're saying. But it ain't reticent to me because I don't see what is so important about Kelly. You know, what you should be important. What is you doing now to make you the important
he
one?
He whipped it on him. That's what happened.
Yeah, and one of the things I'm trying to do right now is, you know, I've spent a year being involved with this whole ordeal and writing down as much as much of it as I can, and then when I couldn't take any more of the torture, I purposefully started praying much more. I would, you know, wear headphones everywhere so I wouldn't listen to anything that was around me, and I really forced those demons out of the picture so that I could get my life back on track. When this started, I had a job, a really good job. I had just gotten a raise to $98,000 a year. I was really comfortable and happy, and everything went to hell, literally, and I lost that. You know, I didn't lose it as much as I felt like things were going crazy, not just in my life, but again, I felt like I was part of a game, and something was possessing all of the people around me to act just ludicrous, to the point where one day I walked into my office and my manager just said the wrong thing, and she'd been really, you know, eating at me for a while, and I just said, I quit. And I walked out not knowing how in the world it got to that point where I would quit such a great job that I loved doing all over this one personality conflict.
I got to break in. I'm sorry. What are you getting paid now a year?
Right now I make almost nothing. I'm happy writing books. And to be honest, one of the things that happened when I was so tormented was that it really gave me the stress I needed to think about what I loved in life. And it was really the things that I loved when I was a kid. I wanted to be a writer, and I wanted to be a politician.
Let me just, darling, I like writing too, but I ain't got no bestseller, and I ain't making no big bucks. And I ain't gonna never tell a lie. I'm just happy writing books, bullshit. Okay, if you ain't making no money right now, what are you doing other than writing books, because you got to eat?
Yeah, right now I'm furiously trying to get a job back in the San Francisco area because San Francisco is where I love to be. And now that, you know, you're right, whenever you want to be a writer, the first rule of writing should be don't quit your day job, because it takes, even after you've written the perfect book, you could sit on it for years before it becomes something great. So it's definitely something that you have to plan out in terms of the money that will keep you alive while you're becoming a great writer. And really, to become a great writer, you just have to keep writing. But that's what I'm trying to do, is rebuild those aspects of my life that I lost. You know, I even lost
One, put down an alcohol. Number two, smoke a joint. Maybe you'll have an epiphany of something you can do and focus on it. Number three, don't deal with Kelly Yvonne any damn more. And use those skills that you had before and go and try to get you another job and stop messing around sitting at home, getting caught up into this wall of depression, writing books, because pretty soon you're going to be just like her. You're going to be manifesting some crazy shit in some female's life, because depression will set in when you ain't doing nothing. And if you ain't doing nothing, you're a bum, because you're going to be sitting on somebody else's sofa or bed. You know, they're going to be taking care of your grown ass at 40, and they're going to get tired of that. They're going to say, he's sitting up there thinking he's some damn writer. He writing all these books and ain't paying no damn light bill. Ain't nobody trying to hear that. And, you know, and I hate to be hard, but that's just real talk. Get your ass up. Go get you a job. You know, put the writing down, because there ain't no bestseller right now. And get you a day job, you know. And whoever you stand with, because you can't live for free unless you have a resource of money in the bank that you're living off of. Make yourself useful, because at the end of the day, when you got a grown man up in the house and all he's doing is playing around on his computer, people might think he's just playing video games, and they ain't really trying to hear that shit. You know, you couldn't be in my house, you know, and sex after a while is old. If you got somebody else that you're sexing up, they're going to say, when you going to get a job? When you going to get a job? You know, and I'm just trying to keep it real, you know, but, you know, you do what you want to do, but sitting around writing books ain't it, baby. Get you a day job.
Yeah, you know, and you're exactly right, is that you really have to remember, when you're doing anything supernatural, that it's not – you got to remember, it's the second dimension. It's not anything powerful if it's not coming through you. Like, if you've got the spirit of an angel or of God coming through you, then you're doing good works. You're writing, you're building, you're out there in your community doing things that are wonderful. If you're just hearing things, that's not – a spirit, that's a little demon. And whether or not the demon has a valid point, it's still a two-dimensional being, and you're three-dimensional, so don't worship it, because it's less than you. It wants to be you someday, maybe, but it's not right now. So you're right. You got to keep your perspective on, you know, even if a little demon wants to be better, there's time for that. There's another teacher for that demon. You know, let him go, and remember that you have a three-dimensional life that's more important. And if you ever want to get to the fourth dimension where the angels are, you can't always focus your attention on the second dimension. You know, you'll be going down instead of up.
A minute with our special guest, Ewen. If y'all want to talk to Ewen, you got to call in 347 347- 845-6003, because our time is winding down. We got 5 minutes. Hit the number one key, because this guy, he is going to share what he's been going through. If you got a question, you better hit the number one key really quick, because I'm going to ask him how to get his book again, where you can find him at, because we got to wrap this thing up and pay the light bill. So, Ewan, you got 5 minutes, darling. Give a shout-out and tell everybody how to get your book and whatever, and we'll give Tony a chance to give a shout-out as well. But we're going to start with our special guest.
Well, once again, you can go to my website. It's ewanlillici.com, and that's E-W-A-N-L-I-L-L-I-C-I-I. You can also search for Kelly Yvonne on Amazon.com, and you'll see some of my other poetry collections and short stories there. I've also got a Facebook page, facebook.com/ewan.lillici.com. And I've got a free book there. I just wrote a short story called Sign Waver, which is a metaphor of what I've been through. It's about being trapped in an aviary in the middle of the desert. And the book is available for free through the end of May if you want to download it, or you can purchase a copy on Amazon. And then I'm on Twitter also.
All right.
And
well,
also the book I mentioned. Yeah, the one more book that I think is really important is The Improved Liberty, where I talk about my ideas for ending poverty. And you know, getting back to what you said earlier, I sent it to Smiley and West, because I really appreciate especially Mr. Cornell West and his work to end poverty. And I'm one of the things I want to do with the Spirit of God that I'm trying to channel is to get out there and talk about my idea with people like Mr. West, Dr. West, because I think they are valid ideas, and a lot of people can add value to them by starting a discussion on how we can end things like poverty.
Oh, wow. Well, I first got to apologize, everybody. I was sitting here eating some Symphony candy, and I was crunching. I forgot I was so close to the mic, but ooh, that candy was good. Ooh-wee. But I'm going to let Tony.
Okay.
Yeah, that shit was good. I'm sorry, I was smacking. But Tony, is something that you want to say before we get off the air, baby?
Yeah, man. Cher, I enjoy the show, and man, get yourself together, man. You're intelligent, brother. Get out there and make a productive life for yourself. With your books and everything, if they catch on, they're going to probably be some bestsellers. Somebody might want to make some movies about your thing. But what you need to do is get your life together, you know, and do what you need to do. You're a smart guy. I can hear that, you know.
Exactly.
If I had a man like him, I
whip him into shape. I know what to do. And first thing I would be on my agenda, you wouldn't lose that $90,000 a year job. Are you crazy?
Oh,
if you said you quit, I said take your ass back and grovel, get it back. Because I ain't trying to live in a cardboard box with you, darling. But I just want everybody to know that your host, author is Terry Lyle. My personal website is www.terrylyle.com. That's TerryLyle.com. Go to my website, and I got 9 books to choose from, and they're all about real-life situations. I keep it real, as you can tell by my interview with Ewan, as well as I have a 10-count perfume line called the Unmasked Perfume Line, and I'm pushing that as well. I'm trying to just get my little hustle on, you know, and I'm glad that you all spent the time to be out here with us tonight. It's been a good show, and the time ran so fast. Ewan, I thank you again, and you know, darling, as soon as you do another book, you're welcome to come back, and I'm going to get you on my other show, Author's Corners, because you got a story that people wants to hear. And with that being said, I want to thank everybody for tuning in on this particular Friday, and we got to get up out of here, and y'all have a great time. And with that being said, goodbye.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
later, took a shower. Once again, I'm heading home, but I'm satisfied to the bone. Like so many times before, you had me begging for more. Now I'm running home and earth. When it's you I prefer, she's got paper on me. And I'm getting tired of sneaking in line by where I've been. How long can this go on? Pretending to love someone who just don't turn me on. And every time I taste him sweet, sweet lips, I make up my mind to abandon the ship. Man, oh man, she's cramping my style. I look in her face and see your sweet smile, but on me. She's got paper on me.
Oh, she's got paper
in. You're taking every little bit. You're getting all my love and then leaving her just across. And like it isn't like it was. Doesn't she know it's you that I love? Girl, you're more than just some broad out wine and dine. You're the sweet little thing, the sweet little thing, the sweet little thing that's always on my mind. Always on my mind. Girl, you always, 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 always are on my mind. But she's got big papers on me.
Got my sweater and I'm on my way back and I started thinking, what's your been acting strangely? And what is this I hear when I walk up to my bathroom door? You singing about some other woman? Let me tell you something, Mr. Looks So Good. From now on, this house is where you used to live. My, my, my. Don't we look pretty in that suit my money bought? You better come on downstairs and have a seat. But don't you get too comfortable now, cause you won't be here that long. Now I'm not exactly sure about what you're doing, but I know you're doing something. I gave you the best years of my life, trying to be a good mother and a good wife. I made you what you are, Lord, you hear me? I paid the house note. I put you through school. I paid for that pretty car you ride your woman all women round in. Now if I can't be number one, I will not be number two. Unless I wanna be. And right now I'm in no mood to be number two. That's right, I got papers on you. And you do understand, my dear, that you must pay me to be free. That's what I said. You're going to pay me for my years and my tears and all my wasted years. And I know being with me hurts you. And I mean, you don't dig me anymore. But I'm hurting too. And you can tell that Disney broad, you know, the one you singing about, the miss sweet little thing that's always on your mind, that I'm not letting you out of this unless you buy me out. I'm not going through no more hard times or bad times, because I can do bad all by myself. All by myself. Yeah, I got papers on you. But now, I'm throwing them in the trash can of my memory. Now take your little albums and your little raggedy components that never work, and you can scat. You hear me? Just use my life up. Use my body up.
Well, I took y'all back in the time with She's Got Papers on Me by Richard Dimples Field. And we had a special guest tonight, Ewan. So tell your friends, go to his website, you know, check him out. He got some books out there that will enlighten you. And, you know, give him our contact information. He'll be on your show as well. Great guest. And I want to thank you, Ewan. And on that note, darling, let's say good night.
Thank you.
Good night, darling.
Good night.
Good night, John Boy. We out of here. Bye.